Let's bring on Daniel Cormier, former UFC heavyweight champion, ringside analyst for the UFC, co-host of the DC and Helwani podcast as well. How's it going, DC? Thanks for doing this.
I'm doing pretty good. How are you guys doing? Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it's great to have you.
Yeah, I mentioned you're the co-host of the DC and Helwani podcast. We have Ariel on the show quite often. We saw the clip of him revealing to you that we have a separate Canadian Thanksgiving here, and you being alerted to that. You were not aware of that. I don't know. You've now had time to sit with that. Yeah. It's just an extra holiday you can have. Feel free to celebrate it with us next October.
I'm so happy that you guys are giving me the pass, allowing me into this beautiful holiday and celebrate it twice. I mean, honestly, with the way I eat, I don't need to be having Thanksgiving two times, but I will definitely celebrate Canadian Thanksgiving up in Canada too. You know, a lot of people are going, D.C., it's not Canadian Thanksgiving. It's just Thanksgiving for us. I get it right. And I'm like, oh, okay, my bad. I said Canadian because Ariel has been passing so many holidays on me. You guys have more holidays than any place in the entire world. Like, every week is a holiday.
I want that to be even more true, especially as we go into a period where there's less sports. But yeah, we vouch for him that is a real thing, that one's not made up. But also, we actually also call it Canadian Thanksgiving. Like, the people who are telling you that are not football fans, because we celebrate American Thanksgiving because you guys run football all day and we're like, yes, thank you. You know how many Canadian guys take that day off? And so they just want to do the exact same thing,
really?
Sit on the couch, order bad food, and then sit there and enjoy football all day. Like, that's our tradition too. Like, yeah, that's we're doing that.
You see, that's why you can't listen to the internet, right? Because the internet, like, you see, it's not Canadian Thanksgiving, it's just Thanksgiving. But come to find out, it is Canadian Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
Oh, it's big-time Canadian Thanksgiving. It's big-time Canadian Thanksgiving.
I can't wait for Canadian Christmas, which is next week.
Yeah, yeah, that's going to be – yeah, are you celebrating Canadian Christmas?
No, it's not a thing.
Yeah.
I'm about to say, you guys, Christmas is early, too. Man, on the calendar.
Yeah, everybody's got to hustle up. Actually, Canadian Christmas is just getting this fight. Like, I'm so excited for this fight. I'm so excited that we get to see Khabib again. I think this is going to be terrific. And you're calling it, and a lot's been made about, you know, you calling the fight of a friend. I'm not thinking that it's going to be too hard for you, other than maybe emotionally if something happens. But here's the thing. We just talked about the fight, and I watched Khabib yesterday at his media conference where, you know, he's sitting on the beach and he's not looking at the media, and he says the thing about how, yeah, everybody's good until he gets his hands on them. And that's how I feel about this fight too. And lately, Ben and I, what we've been focusing on when we're trying to preview these fights is there's been a real fascination point of, hey, guys you can't replicate in training. Guys that you just can't go out and find someone who fights like that or can and have anything similar to the style. And that's how I sort of feel about Khabib. And you're someone who has trained with him. You're someone who has rolled with him. You know him personally. Can you just kind of speak to how different his wrestling is from just, say, a North American guy who you bring in and try to have a camp with to say, hey, this is going to be something that you're going to try and face, especially in this weight class?
Well, I feel like when you're preparing for Khabib, you have to have multiple guys switching on you. And then you got multiple, you know, people switching on you very, very quickly. And also having those same guys going in and out, like, in very short spurts. I think that's the only way to replicate that, because he does not get tired of trying to take you down. And I think that's where the difference is. A lot of guys will get takedown after takedown. You know, Khabib actually said that yesterday in the thing. He goes, DC only took Stipe down once because he got up so quickly. You know, we would have preferred him to get more takedowns, and he should have gotten more takedowns. He goes, but I'm not going to stop. He goes, if I have to try to take you down 100 times, I will take you down 100 times. So it's a matter of the consistency of the takedowns and the intensity to which he actually shoots over and over again.
So aside from just like his tank and his ability to just kind of keep going and his relentlessness, which again we have seen, like, I've never felt as sorry for a fighter as I felt sorry for Barbosa in his fight with him, because that's just how it felt. Like, it was like, I can't believe they're not going to stop this fight at any point, that he's got to go through every single round with this guy where it's just relentlessness. But can you explain to us how Habib's chain wrestling is different from other guys, like, say, North American guys. So, again, for a guy like Gaethje, who has wrestled as an American, how it's going to be different?
You know, honestly, I just think that it's a lot of the attacks and the amount of attacks. Now, okay. I think a lot's being made about American wrestling versus Dagestan wrestling. And if you go through the history of wrestling in the world, the Dagestanis are known for being very technically adept and very strategic in the way that they wrestle. The Americans are the ones that are known for pushing the high pace, the intensity, Terry Brand, Tom Brand, Kurt Angle, a lot of the big guys, they were known for pushing a crazy high pace and trying to exhaust the foreigners, particularly the Russian athletes, because we thought that we could fatigue them. So if there is a way in which he competes, it actually more closely resembles that hard pace of the American wrestler. You know, so it seems like those guys like that we watch internationally, the pace and pressure is what allows Americans to win as much as we've been winning. And the Dagestanis and the Russians, who have really ruled the world for a long time, they are just so technically skilled that we struggle. You know, that's why we struggle with them.
Do you think that, like, again, Justin is someone now who likes to press the pace and he likes to throw a bunch of strikes, and a lot's been made of his wrestling resume. But do you think that kind of missing reps inside of the ring for a long time is going to be a bit of a challenge for him? Like, are we overstating his ability there after having not really seen it for a long time?
Well, but did you hear Trevor Whitman say the other day, this guy's best skill was supposed to be his wrestling, and it's been hidden inside the octagon because he's never used it. I mean, that's a pretty strong statement, right? And if you have that in your back pocket, right, you're an All-American wrestler, and you don't even use it because you don't need to, that says that you have developed a skill that is so good that skill number one just kind of gets left at home. He's wrestled since he was 4 years old. So a lot of this now is on instinct. It's just a matter of, can Justin continue to wrestle as these situations get extended for 25 minutes? Do I feel like Justin can defend some takedowns? Absolutely. Do I feel they can defend him for 25 minutes is going to be the question that needs to be answered.
Yeah, if what you said is true, is Justin Gaethje his biggest challenge?
I do believe it's the biggest challenge that he will face until, you know, unless he gets to fight George St. Pierre. But outside of that, I don't think anyone is more dangerous towards Habib because of their fighting style and skill than Justin Gaethje.
Yeah, because everyone kind of looks back at that Conor fight now and says, hey, that's actually the best that you can do against him. He just got him. That Conor's game plan was solid, that everyone just keeps saying that he had the right ideas. It's just that he couldn't hang with him. And I keep thinking back, like, is Justin Gaethje right now better than Conor McGregor was then? And was Conor being serious? Is that fully truthful, the whole idea that his training camp was not as good as he would have liked it to be, or as his coaches would have liked it to be? Like, that's the thing that I have trouble grappling with, is just, okay, Gaethje's wrestling might be better, but was he better than that version of Conor McGregor? It's interesting to hear you say that. And you've said he doesn't have interest in Conor, and I'm sure it's even tough to talk to him about the future when he has a fight coming up, and I don't know what that's like, just in terms of asking him about other stuff. There's always been the rumor of the final fight being against GSP, his dad wanting to have GSP. Us as Canadians, like, obviously that's our guy, but I think George is 39 now. Do you think that even still at 39, George St. Pierre is, like you just said it, that he's his greatest challenge? I know he looks in good shape. What do they have to do to make that fight happen?
I think George is definitely going to be the guy, right? Because think about this. At 39 is when I won the heavyweight title at 39 and defended the light heavyweight title in the same year. I mean, 39 is you still feel pretty good, you know, opposed to 41 is what I'm trying to say. But I think George is, the way he prepares and the way that he is, I think he would be the most difficult because he does possess a ton of skills not only off of his offensively, but also defensively, and his striking is so phenomenal. But I do believe that Justin is the toughest guy that he's ever fought. But if GSP is to come back, that's the one. Also, it'd be good because they would have to make some concessions in terms of what weight they would fight at. It's just a story that has so many levels to it. But ultimately, the goal has to be for Khabib to stay in the moment on Saturday this weekend.
For sure. They can't make George fight at 155, right?
No, he's too big.
Yeah.
And he's never done that, right? He goes down to 155, it'll be a little bit too much for my team.
Yeah. So, yeah, that looks like it's going to be what's next. Again, we're excited for this. The card is stacked. Everyone's kind of looking at the card, though. I guess I'd just ask you this one. Is everyone's looking at it as the main two fights, right? The main event and the co-main. Is there one other fight that you would say, if you were trying to sell somebody on it and say, hey, like, this is the other one that excites me personally?
Yeah, you know, when you look at UFC 254, there are a number of good fights on the card. But I think there's a fight that you guys should all pay attention to. It's a prelim fight, right? Mm-hmm. And most times, guys on prelims are on the prelims until they aren't. And it's Cowboy Oliveira versus Shavkat Rakhmonov. This kid, Rakhmonov, is so spectacular. He's a fantastic striker, full well-around mixed martial artist from Kazakhstan in a region that we don't see many athletes from yet. That's a fantastic fight. Casey Kinney and Nathaniel Wood is another great fight on the prelims. But then the finish of Magomed Ankalaev, who's been tabbed as the next great light heavyweight in Iwan Kutelaba. Now listen, when you think about Ankalaev, if him and Kutelaba got this done last year like it was supposed to be, he could be looking at a top five fight if he was to win, right? He's been that talented and that exciting. With the new champion, this kid could be well much closer to a UFC title fight, but he's kind of been stuck in the mud with this Kutelaba situation, who is also just an absolute killer, you know. So whoever wins between these two is going to really start moving their way toward the championship contention.
Talking to Daniel Cormier, the best on the mic when it comes to the UFC, but wants to expand his horizons. I mean, you told Sports Illustrated you want to be a WWE commentator. You said you were in discussions. Where are we with that? Have you seen some of the WWE stars reacting to this? The Miz was like talking to TMZ about it. Where are we with this WWE thing?
It's still kind of the same. I have some stuff in the works for when I get back from Fight Island. It's been fun. You know, it's been fun. It's been interesting to kind of get to know people in the business and how it's gonna work, you know. So it's been fun. I love it. I enjoy it. And we'll see what happens. But the reality is, like, I want to do it, right? It's a lifelong dream of mine, but it isn't something that I have to do, you know. There are many avenues for me to pursue outside of mixed martial arts.
Yeah, that's very clear. What are you doing on Fight Island? Like, you know, you do this radio interview, you got some stuff where you got to be in your hotel, you got to quarantine, you got to do the testing. And, like, do you get downtime? Is it fun there? Like,
I get a ton of downtime. I get a ton of downtime. I've been watching a show called Yellowstone. I'm like two seasons of it. And it's a great story. And then I play my video games, I talk to my family, and I just kind of sit around. One thing I haven't done is I haven't been to the beach. I've been here for like 10 days. I haven't been to the beach. Haven't been to the pool. I just haven't really done anything. I'm kind of a social hermit. I just sit in my room the whole time and just kind of be by myself. And that's okay because I don't live a life where I'm alone most times.
Yeah, I just looked at the weather. I was like expecting it to be like 200 degrees. It's beautiful. It's 86 there right now and sunny or 30 degrees.
It's nice right now. John, you want to play basketball? You play basketball?
Yeah.
We're playing basketball at like 9. I'll text you. Yep, I'll text you.
Oh, okay.
John Gooden just walked past me, and I'm inviting him to the basketball. John Gooden just walked past me. We're going to go play basketball, me, him, Annie, and a couple of the other guys from the crew. So, yeah, I'm finally going to get out.
You were sending the jet for us that we
could. I was like, we do play basketball. You need a couple guys? Like, we're there, man. Let's do this.
I know, right? You guys should try it.
let's get to Fight Island. Hey, man, we'll let you go hoop. And thanks for doing this with us today, man. It was a real pleasure to talk to you. You're one of the greats.
Thank you. Thank you so much.